Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the inaugural edition of The Bottom Line here on ESPN Radio, Lexington 1300 and 92.5 FM. I am your host, Brad Taylor, a newcomer here in the Lexington area on radio. Just want to thank a lot of people for tuning in today. My new friend behind on the ones and twos over here, Mr. Angelo, thank you so much for serving me, sir. A lot of people want to thank here at LM Communications, Mr. Lynn Martin, of course, the higher up. Thank you, sir, for giving me I will not let you down. I know you told me the other day that you're always listening, so I'm assuming right now you are listening. So, yes, sir, thank you so much for the opportunity. Craig Olive, Sean C., Scooter Reynolds, a cast of thousands here at LM Communications. I thank all of you very much for giving me the opportunity. A lot of people in Atlanta to thank. A lot of people behind the technology. My old pod, Justin Stewart, excuse me, Sean Pryor. Of course, the lovely Miss Susan, thank you very much. You're the best, honey. And to my mom, sitting in Richmond right now in a recliner. Miss Judy, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Hope you're enjoying listening to the first edition of The Bottom Line here on ESPN Radio. A little bit about this show before we get started. It's not your normal run-of-the-mill Go Big Blue fanboy show right off the bat. We tell it like it is, like Howard Cosell used to. You remember him, Angelo? Howard Cosell, a little before your time? Maybe a little bit before your time, that's okay. But hey, we tell it like it is. We're all about picking winners and cashing tickets on this. We're trying to pick the right teams. And if we could go on UK one night, that's great. If we could go against them the next night, that's great too. We're a little bit of a contrarian on this show. We don't let emotions dictate who we want to pick to win these games. So that's, you know, like the movie Wall Street in the 80s. Another thing before your time, Angelo. The movie Wall Street, Michael Douglas. Don't get emotional over stock, Bud Fox. It clouds the judgment. And that's the way we look at things here on ESPN Radio. Team A and Team B, not Kentucky versus Tennessee. We try to look at it analytically using data to kind of dictate where we're going to go, where we're going to pick these teams. But we're very excited about our first show here on ESPN Radio. On today's show, a couple of dear guests to our heart, well, using the term dear very loosely. John Clay from the Lexington Herald Leader, he will be joining us in our next segment. He will come on to talk about all things. And by the way, he's already tried to sabotage this show. So I will tell you how he's tried to sabotage and ruin this show 30 seconds in. He's already tried to ruin the show. We'll talk about that and call him to the carpet on that in our next segment. Then later on, you've heard the commercials here on ESPN Radio. When I met Angelo for the first time last week, he's like, hey, tell me about that fantasy football thing, those commercials I hear on the radio. Farrell Elliott of the KFFSC, the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. He'll be on later in the show, and he'll tell us how you could win big money this fall playing fantasy football. So those are our big guests. We've got all kinds of bells and whistles. When we start out our show here, we call it the trifecta, the top three stories locally in sports. And we're here, the voice of the Reds here at 1300, 92.5 FM. We are the voice of the Reds, so the Reds are going to start playing baseball this week. I don't know if Angelo, he's in his late 20s, I'm going to assume, late 20s?
Just turned 28 on Tuesday.
28 on Tuesday. You're not a big baseball fan because your generation doesn't like baseball. Is that correct?
Well, I wouldn't say. I think it was more or less that baseball was taken away from us more than anything. So I would say that's probably more of the case there. I am actually a Chicago Cubs fan.
Oh, well, in 1984, I was a Cubs fan. That's another story we'll share on down the line. But see, people of my generation, we either like the Cubs or the Braves because of the television stations, the super stations. You either liked one of those two shows or teams. But now the Reds are going to start this Friday. Detroit, the Detroit Tigers come to town, the lowly Detroit Tigers. 6:10 start this Friday night if you're for your listening pleasure here on ESPN Radio. By the way, the Reds this year, out in our friends out in the desert say they're going to win 31.5 out of 60 games. That means they're going to lose 28.5. But when you look at the schedule, the Reds have a distinct advantage. They have the easiest schedule in Major League Baseball. Why? They have 20 games against the Detroit Tigers, the Kansas City Royals, the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's a third of their schedule. Those three teams last year combined 310 losses. Those are three poor teams, and it's not like they had great improvements in the offseason. So if you look at the schedule, the Reds have an advantage, the easiest schedule in Major League Baseball going into this season. Now, does that mean in a shortened season of 60 games that that's the end-all be-all and the Reds are going to roll to the division championship? Not necessarily, but still a distinct advantage in the fact that they have the easiest schedule in the league. But they added all these new players, Castellanos, Bauer, who, if you look at Trevor Bauer, he's only had one good season. A lot of people putting a lot of emphasis on him this year. He talks a lot. That's why people are putting a lot of emphasis on him. Moustakas, Akiyama, they got two great starting pitchers. But 2020, Angelo, the year of the bullpen. These starting pitchers are not going to go six innings to start out, unless you're Max Scherzer and you threatened your manager if you take him out of the game. These starting pitchers are not going to go late into games, five, six, seven innings. These starting pitchers are going to, especially to start the year, they're going to go four. They're going to go five tops. So you have to have a bullpen. And the one thing the Reds do not have is a reliable and good bullpen. Go back all the way to 4 years ago. They had literally the worst bullpen in Major League history. Now, of course, that's 4 years ago. But I look at these guys now. Raisel Iglesias, oh yeah, he had 34 saves last year, but a 4.16 ERA. Is that something you could trust going into this season? And it's not, with the bullpen now, it's not just about going six innings and getting a seventh inning guy, an eighth inning guy, and a closer. Now you've got to have sixth inning, fifth inning guys to go along with seventh inning, eighth inning guys. So you've got all these guys. Pedro Strop, they just signed him, 35 years old. Nate Jones, who's a Kentucky native, 34 years old. Those are two stalwarts of your bullpen now. You've got Michael Lorenzen, who literally said the other day, I could pitch all 60 games this year if needed. Well, no, you can't pitch all 60 games, Michael Lorenzen. Mike Marshall, 1974, pitched 108 games and pitched 208 innings, won the Cy Young Award. If you do that to somebody today, pitch a guy 108 games out of the bullpen, you'll be thrown in jail if you do something like that. The game has changed. You look at guys like Robert Stevenson, Amir Garrett. These guys, none of them had ERAs under 3 last year. So now you're going into a shortened season where you're not relying on starting pitchers nearly as much as you were in years past. And now you're going with a bullpen that statistically has not proven that they're reliable in such situations. How do I know this? Let's just look back at last year. We do research on this show, Angelo. You're going to figure this out. We do research, stuff you don't hear anywhere else. After five innings last year, the Reds were winning 69 times. They were tied 27. They only won 75 games. So somehow in those 27 games they were tied, they won 6, lost 21. Oh, that's just a crazy number. Well, you know what? The St. Louis Cardinals also were winning 69 times after five innings last year. They wound up winning 91 games. That's 16 more than the Reds. So don't sit there and tell me the bullpens don't matter, the benches don't matter, and maybe the way David Bell maneuvers his bullpen, bringing in Raisel Iglesias at wrong times, maybe not maneuvering the rest of his bullpen or his bench the way he should. That's not happenstance. That's just a team that could not close games last year. And that's what the Reds were. They, after five innings, same exact number of wins as the Cardinals, but at the end, they were 16 games behind of the Cardinals. That's stuff you don't get anywhere else. That's research, Angelo. You're looking at me going, wow, how do you come up with that stuff? Well, it's not that really good. You just have to do some research. So it's David Bell. It's the bullpen. Those are going to be your keys to this season in terms of the Reds. But let's look at that 31.5 wins out in the desert. We can look at analytics. We like to look at these kind of, you know, these websites that go into the analytics. The Pecota, the Baseball Prospectus, they say the Reds are going to win 32.7 games this year. Fangraphs, as reliable as any baseball website out there, they say the Reds are going to win 31 games. So it's not like you have really strong opinions on either side as to where the Reds are going to finish with the 31.5 wins out in the desert. But if you look at me, they better win these games early, because there is a stretch between August 11th and August 19th where the Reds have 8 games against Kansas, 4 against Kansas City and 4 against Pittsburgh. And those are the first 3 weeks of the season. If they wake up on August 20th and they're not in first place, it's going to be a bad season, because they would be playing Detroit 6 games early, Kansas City and Pittsburgh 4 before they even play St. Louis and Milwaukee, probably the two biggest rivals in the National League Central this year. So August 20th is the date of demarcation for the Reds this year. If they wake up on August 20th and they're in bad shape, probably time to sell out, probably time to trade everybody. But if they wake up on August 20th and in contention, like I think they will be because of the schedule, you're looking at a very interesting down-the-stretch run for the Reds. And that trade deadline is a month into the season. There's no telling what's going to go on, because teams are going to be selling. Who's going to sell? Who's going to tank? Who's going to try to pull like the Astros did a few years ago, which is intentionally lose down the stretch? Anything goes this year, Angelo, in baseball. Your thoughts on the Reds this coming season?
I think this is a year that's important more or less for the fan base, because you see everybody getting excited about the Reds, at least their own fans, because look at all the acquisitions they made. Look how much money they spent. They spent more money this offseason than they have in years. So Reds fans, they're desperate. It has been a long time since they've been truly competitive. I think the last time was it under, and you can correct, please correct me if I'm wrong, was it under Dusty Baker when Roy Halladay pitched a no-hitter against him?
Yes.
So that's the last, that was I was in high school when that happened.
Young.
So it's just one of those things where even, I think what you laid out is perfect. You have to capitalize on your week, but you got to eat the week, or else, like you said, August 20th rolls around. You're not going against Milwaukee and taking them out.
Bottom line, it 31.5 wins, over or under?
I'll go slightly over.
Over?
I'll go slightly over. Like you say, if it wasn't for you outlining how the Royals and the Pirates, well, of course they had 10 games against the Pirates, but when you face the Royals and Tigers, now this is going to be interesting. This is in the regular season, in a 162 game slate, I'd be like, man, look at that. We have no idea what this season is going to look like. We have no clue on how these teams are going to maneuver their rosters, because they don't have to play 162. They only have to play 60. So are the Tigers going to try to be competitive, load up everything, get these young guys, get these young pitchers that they have out in their starting rotation to give them the reps? I don't know. But I do think that that's the only wild card that we have there. But Cincinnati better be ready. And if they are, then yeah, I think they're going to start off hot, like you said, and I think they're going to just barely, but eclipse that 31.5 win mark.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Angelo says over 31.5 wins for the Reds. We'll have our pick on this later in our show in our big Mac Daddy that's a radio tease, Angelo. I'm trying to teach you some things as we go along here. Our Mac Daddy Stogie picks at the end of the show. Our play story number two, Kentucky football. We'll be talking with John Clay about this in our next segment. But Kentucky football, it looks like they're going to be playing. Maybe they'll be playing just conference games. Maybe they'll be playing a few games. Who knows at this point how many games Kentucky will be playing. But my big-time whipping boy for the Kentucky football team for a couple years now has been our good friend Terry Wilson. 2 years ago, during the big dream season, Terry Wilson ranked 13th out of 14 SEC quarterbacks in quarterback rating. If you have a mediocre quarterback, do you go 10-3 still? Do you go 11-2? Do you maybe win a few more games? And even last year, everybody's depending on Terry Wilson, the first two games of the year, he didn't look very good against MAC competition and actually was the third highest rated quarterback on his own team last year. In my opinion, if you look at numbers, Joey Gatewood, if he's eligible to play, he might be your starting quarterback by the end of the year based on numbers alone. And there's a lot of big blue haters out there that are going to say, you can't go against Terry Wilson. Joey Gatewood might be your starting quarterback by the end of the year. But on this show, we look at numbers and we're trying to pick winners, Angelo. We're trying, how do we get the jelly beans? Well, let's just go the last 5 years for Mark Stoops. 37-27 straight up. That's pretty good, 57.8%. But against the point spread, they're 30-34. That's 46.8%. At home, oh, they dominated home the last 5 years. 25-12, 67%. Well, against the point spread, they're 15-20 with two pushes. That's 42.9%. And in these non-conference cupcake games, they're at 19-5 overall. Against the point spread, 10-14. That's 41.7%. So in other words, although Kentucky's winning games, and 2 years ago in their big dream season when they went 10-3 overall, they were 6-7 against the point spread. So even when Kentucky had their best season ever, if you had jelly beans on them every day, you lost money. So don't sit there and say, well, this is the greatest Kentucky team of all time. Maybe it is. It's the best run in the history of my life. I know that much. But are they living up to expectations all the way? Or are they taking advantage of teams like Missouri and South Carolina and even Florida to some extent, not as good as they used to be? Living up to expectations. That's the way I look at it, trying to pick winners, unbiased, here on the bottom line. So if you're trying to make jelly beans on Kentucky, it's tough to find ways to capitalize when they're going to cover point spreads or not. Your thoughts on that, Angelo?
I think what you said about Terry Wilson, especially back in 2018, you're leaving a little bit out when you say that
yes.
he was
what
13th.
Am I leaving out?
You're leaving out when you say that he's 13th out of 14 quarterbacks in passing. Was it passer rating, passing efficiency?
QBR, what was rating, yes.
The quarterback rating, okay. That is fair when you're talking about Terry Wilson, a passer, but you're talking about a quarterback. There are multiple phases, well, at least two that I can think of, which is passing and rushing. You discounted how his rushing ability comes into the factor there, especially if you look at the Florida win where his legs were paramount to breaking a streak that has haunted Kentucky for over 30 years. Now, when you said also against MAC competition last year, he was 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and between those two games, he had 200 yards a game of total offense in both those. Is that spectacular? No. Did you get the wins in both of those games? Yes. And did he visually, and we're talking about the eye test, if we're going ball for ball, he looked like he improved, and you can say that. You gotta, as much as you want to pull up the numbers, and your numbers might be correct, you also got to watch the tape.
You said the magic words, Angelo. The eye test. When I hear the eye test, I've got a hunch. I've got a gut feeling. That doesn't work out in the desert. It might work in your world. It might work in a lot of worlds of the people listening. But in my world, I'm about picking winners. And I don't care who you are. As long as you make me some jelly beans, as long as you cover point spreads, I don't care who you are. And I look at numbers. You might beat me once with your little eye test. You might beat me 2 out of 3 with your little eye test. But long term, you will not beat the numbers, and you will not beat the desert, if you know what I'm saying, using that angle. So I love it when people come on here and say, the eye test tells me Terry Wilson's a good quarterback. Well, you know what? The numbers tell me Terry Wilson is a poor quarterback.
You can say that people tell you that, but what I said is that it looked like he had improved. Now, does that mean that he is going to be a mediocre quarterback? Does that mean that his passing ability is going to settle in about average there in the SEC or maybe even a little above average, you'd hope, in the nation? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that if you get better as a player, then there's a little bit of reason for optimism. Now, when it comes to your precious jelly beans, that's going to throw you, even for you, with all your numbers that you have, it's going to throw you off a lot if the season, just like we were talking about with baseball, is thrown into this chaotic world of, are we going to have fans? Are we going to have a quarter of the fans? Are we going to go to Alabama and they're going to have 95% capacity? We have no idea. But that is going to change the mentality of a lot of these young men, especially tick-tock. When we talked to John Clay, how prepared is the team going to be?
When you said you thought Terry Wilson had improved last year, what if I told you the truth? His quarterback rating last year was not as good as it was the year before when he was 13th out of 14. Those are numbers, Angelo. You're smiling at me right now. We use facts and data on this show, and we come in here prepared. And I understand it looked like he was better because he was playing the MAC teams, the Toledos of the world. And that's great. But would that have been the same thing when they got to the SEC schedule? I don't think so.
It's fair enough. I mean, when it comes to that, look at those numbers. Look at those numbers.
There we go, Angelo. See, now you're learning how we work it here on the bottom line. See, it's back and forth, data versus conventional wisdom. That's how we do it. That's good radio, Angelo. See, you're playing along with me. I appreciate that very much.
What can you say?
There you go. Our show story. There was a story on ESPN.com yesterday about John Calipari being the highest paid coach in college basketball, but he hasn't given any money back to the school, while other coaches in other schools and other Power 5 schools have voluntarily, say that 3 times, given money back to their schools in these trying times during the virus. Now, I'll ask you, Angelo, if you were getting paid money, would you say, oh, let me just give you some of my money back, or would you just wait until they asked you to give money back?
Is that a real question?
That's a real question. Would you wait until they asked you to give money back, or would you just volunteer giving money back on your
own? Let's just say, now, I haven't voluntarily given any money back that I've gotten during this whole pandemic.
That's what I'm saying. See, it's one thing to cut on these coaches, and believe me, there's nobody in this town that cuts on Calipari in the NCAA tournament, especially from the Elite Eight on. There's nobody who downgrades him like me. But if you're not going to ask the guy to give money back, it's kind of difficult to insult the guy for not giving money back voluntarily. Now, he might do that now that he's been called out. A lot of these other coaches have been called out. But it's something we'll ask John Clay about. Should he just say, here, take back some of my salary, take back some of this, because I know the school is struggling. I know a lot of programs are shutting down right now. Is that something Calipari should do? And that's a tease. We'll take that into John Clay in the next segment. So there is a question for you, Angelo. Should we go with Calipari? Should we blame him? Should we tell him, oh, you need to give back some money? Is that his responsibility?
If it's his responsibility, that he's going to have to find that within himself. When it comes down to it, it's the man's money. Whatever the university asks him, I mean, they signed him to that contract. He agreed to that contract. You go through that. If you feel like that you have some civic duty that you need to give to people or you need to give back to the university, he's going to have to find that or some advisor, because other than that, you sign the contract, you get your money, and that's how it goes. That's just business in America.
That's one segment, Angelo. What do you think so far? What do you think of the bottom line so far, Angelo? Back and forth a little bit.
I like how you get to the bottom line of what Lexington wants to hear, which was, what was that, the Reds, Kentucky football, Kentucky basketball?
It's the trifecta.
You're right on it.
Baby. It's the top three stories of local sports. But we're going to break for a few minutes here, and then John Clay, our good friend from the Lexington Herald Leader, he'll be joining us in our next segment. But until then, we want to remind you to go with Clark's Auto Service of Lexington. Our good friend Bill Clark out there, he has serviced my cars, and I have one car that's over 200,000 miles, Angelo. And he fixed mine up a couple of weeks ago, and I'm telling you right now, it runs like a dream now. That's Bill Clark at Clark's Auto Service. You can find him at 764 Westland Drive. His phone number is 859-253-1278. And make sure to check him out online, ClarksAutoLexington.com. Coming up after the break, our good friend John Clay of the Lexington Herald Leader. Thank you for listening this morning to The Bottom Line here on ESPN Radio 1392.5 FM. Welcome back to The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor here on your Sunday morning, ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM. Let's quickly get to our first guest here on The Bottom Line. He is the long time, and we do mean long time, columnist for the Lexington Herald Leader. One of the people to blame for you hearing my voice on this station right now, he's one of the people, and he's a man who would rather go to Railbird than see the NCAA basketball tournament. He's our good friend, John Clay of the Lexington Herald Leader. John Clay, how are you today, my friend?
I'm good, Brett. Congratulations on the show.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and I appreciate your help. And that's one of the big reasons why you're the first guest. I appreciate your help with getting this. Before we get into you sabotaging my show right off the bat, and you'll figure this out in a minute, yeah. I want to talk about the Reds with you. 31.5 wins out in the desert. First of all, do you think we're going to actually get 60 games in 66 days? And do you think the Reds are actually going to be worth just investing your time in this season?
Yeah, well, on your first question about getting this, I mean, I got my fingers crossed. I'm hoping. I have to say I caught a little of the Yankees and the Mets last night, and it was good to see, actual baseball. I actually liked it. What do you think about the cutouts, the fan cutouts there, Brad? I kind of liked it.
I was sitting with my mother last night, and I literally, saw a woman sitting in the first row who had an empty seat. I said, if I was there, I'd go down and sit by her in the front row. But yeah, that's what we're doing right now. What about the crowd noises? Where's the fan noise? It's going to be very different watching and even listening to baseball on the radio this year.
Yeah, they had some crowd noise piped in or whatever last night in that game, and it didn't. I thought the idea was stupid, but it didn't sound that bad to me last night watching. I thought the cutout thing was going to be hokey, but I kind of like that. So, but back to your original question, I hope we get 60 games in 66 days. It's been encouraging so far. I mean, obviously, you've got here and there, you've got some people test positive. And as for your second question, I think the Reds are set up pretty well for this, because they've got a strong rotation, or they should have a strong pitching rotation, which you think should help them in this type of setup. And I think the DH, they got a lucky break with universal DH, because I think they do have some DH candidates.
But do you trust that bullpen? Because it's going to be a bullpen league this year.
That's true. I mean, that's a very good point. That's the big question mark. Can the bullpen come through? Can Rizal Iglesias pitch a lot better than he pitched last year? That's the definite question mark going in. There's no doubt about that.
We didn't get your answer, John Clay. Over under 31.5 wins. Put a line in the sand.
Over.
You're going over. Okay, you and Angelo are the same ilk on this one. By the way, I got a bone to pick with you. You've already tried to ruin my show. I hope you know this.
How did I do that?
Well, very easily when it comes to you. You did a podcast earlier this week with Phil Steele, and it was great. I listened to it. It was good stuff. But I had already lined up Phil Steele to come on this show in a couple of weeks.
Oh.
So you're already big-timing me. You're already stealing away my guests. I haven't even, I've been on the air 30 seconds. You're already trying to ruin my show. But you had some good stuff in that podcast, and I encourage everyone to go listen to it. His comments on Mark Stoops being saying that he has been the greatest coach in the history of Kentucky football. What did you think about Phil Steele saying that?
That's not exactly what he said. He said he's done a phenomenal job, is what he said. Although he did pick him to finish fourth in the East, so I don't know if he's going overboard there. But he was very complimentary. He was complimentary of Mark Stoops, complimentary of the work he's done on defense. Obviously, he said they're going to miss Bowden next year. He said it'll be fun to watch Kentucky actually throw the ball next year after running the ball pretty much all the time last year. But yeah, he was very complimentary of Stoops. And you can still talk to him, Brad. He's got, believe me, Phil's got plenty to say about college football.
Oh, I know he does.
Other things to say.
He's great on the radio. He's terrible at picking games during the season. But on the radio and his magazine is top shelf stuff. By the way, it's all about the recruiting, though, with Stoops, right? I mean, this team, it's all about the recruiting.
Yeah, obviously, he's lifted up recruiting. He's gone into Ohio and gotten good players out of Ohio. Ohio State can't get every good player out of Ohio. So he's done a good job recruiting. He's done a good job of developing. I mean, look, a guy like Josh Allen, who was like a 2- or 3-star recruit. They like to say, I'm not sure it's totally true, that the only other scholarship offer Josh Allen got was from Monmouth. But he brought him in, and he was able to develop him, and he's a top 10 draft pick in the NFL, had a good rookie season. So, it's not just the recruiting. He's been able to develop those recruits as well.
Which season was the better season for Kentucky? Was it 2018 or was it last year?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, 2018, just getting the 10 wins and having a winning record in the SEC for the first time since 1977, you probably have to go with it. But it's a debate. I mean, that's a legitimate question. The way that they were, losing Terry Wilson, moving Lynn Bowden from wide receiver to quarterback. I mean, how often does that happen? Not just for a game, but the middle of the season and riding him the rest of the year. So, yeah, I mean, I would still go with the 10 wins of 2018, but I could see if you wanted to make an argument for 2019, that 2019 was a better season. Is that the argument you're trying to make, Brad?
Yeah, I'm saying 2019 is better, mainly because you look out in the desert, even the 10-3 season, they had a losing record against the point spread. And then last year, with an 8-5 record, they went 10-3 against the point spread last year. So it's expectations that they surpassed last year a lot more, mainly because they didn't have a quarterback who could throw the football very proficiently.
Right.
But still, last year was a better season, in my opinion, than it was the year before, because they weren't living up to expectations because they were catching a lot of teams at the right time 2 years ago. And that's why they didn't cover any point spreads.
And you pay much more attention to this than I do, but did the desert, when Terry Wilson went down and they put Bowden in a quarterback, how much did that affect them?
It did affect them. It did affect them quite a bit, because you look at this quarterback, he can't throw the football efficiently. He's never proven he could, and that's why they were undervalued in so many games last year. And then when they can do something now that they've never been able to do in 40 years, they're able to go to South Carolina and Missouri and teams like that, maybe not the Alabamas and Georgias and LSU in the world, but the other teams, they can go in there and say, hey, we're just going to run it up the gut 45, 50 times at you. And now they could do it, and they haven't been able to do it for decades. And that's the difference between then and now. They have the players that can go in and force their will, game plan-wise, upon these guys. Let's look at Louisville this year. Do you think Kentucky can beat Louisville on the road in Louisville this year? Because I've got the better quarterback at Louisville. I know that much.
I would pick Kentucky to beat Louisville because I still think they have the better overall roster. But I was very impressed with the job Scott Satterfield did. I think he'll continue to do a good job at Louisville. That was one of the things I asked Phil about Louisville. He said, we took the dumpster fire that was 2-10 the year before and got 8 wins last year. And he said his experience is that most coaches in their second year, you see improvement in their second year. I know the game is at Louisville. Hopefully we get that game. What if they go to just the conference-only schedule? Hopefully we get that game. I would pick Kentucky as the favorite, but I do think Louisville will continue to improve this year.
Well, I can tell you this. There are advanced lines for distant games out in the desert. They have Louisville as a 4-point favorite in this game. You look in these future lines for rivalry type games. They have Louisville favored to win this game. Granted, it's on their home field, so the difference isn't that much. But yeah, Louisville has got a lot of run from last year. 6.5 wins for Kentucky this year. John, I ask you this almost every year. Over or under 6.5, and we get in arguments every single time. 6.5. I need the bottom line on this one.
If they play a full season, I think they'll have more than 6.5 wins. I think that they'll be right there at that 7-8 win mark again. The way the schedule sets up, that's what I would pick. I just hope we get a full season. So, yeah, I always go with the over. You always go with the under. So, are you going with the under again this year, Brad?
I think I have to. I'm thinking 6. But I will ask you this about Terry Wilson. If he's not injured, does he start every game, or does Gatewood, if he's eligible, does Gatewood get a shot at some point this year?
Boy, that's a good question. I would say that Terry will start. I think Terry will start every game if he is healthy. If he's healthy, I think Terry will start every game. I think he still has the because he's been in the system, I think he still has the advantage over Gatewood. I think so. If I had to pick, if you were putting a gun to my head, I would say yeah, Terry will start every game.
Okay. I will ask you this. Do you really think that we're going to have enough games? Do you think we're going to play any games at all this year?
Yeah, I think they're going to play some games. My position on this all along has been they're going to try whatever they can to try to play because they need the money.
Yeah.
If they don't get the money from the television contract, I mean, they're going to lose a bunch of money by not having fans there. So if they don't get the money from the television contract, a lot of these places, these athletic departments are going to collapse. So they're going to try everything they can to in every way possible to play, you know, to play games. I think it's a good chance that they're going to go to conference-only schedules. Everything you read and see is that if the SEC does go to a conference-only schedule, they're going to try to work out, especially with the ACC, because you got Clemson, South Carolina, Florida, Florida State, Kentucky, Louisville, Georgia, Georgia Tech, to try to keep that game, maybe play 9 conference games and 1 non-conference game against an ACC opponent for that 10th game. So I think they're going to try, you know, do something. I heard James Franklin the other day, the Penn State coach, I think it was on the Ross Tucker podcast, when Franklin said the main reason the Big Ten went to a conference-only schedule was because they can control the environment. And it also gives them more leeway if, you say, 2 teams have a spike in coronavirus tests right before they're supposed to play, they can delay the game and they can find a date where they could play at a later date. They would not be able to do that if they continue to play non-conference games. So I think that's what they're going to all end up doing, is going to conference-only schedule with maybe 1 non-conference game depending on the conference.
I'd trust anybody else saying that other than James Franklin, but that's another story for another day. Basketball real quick. Olivier Saar, is he going to be eligible or not?
I think he is going to be eligible. I think he's got a good case to be eligible. And the main thing, I think the NCAA, what you've seen in the other cases on the transfer waivers, is that they've been very lenient in letting people go ahead and play and not have to sit out that year. I think COVID's got something to do with it. I think he will. Yeah, I think, obviously, if he doesn't get the transfer waiver, we'll never see him in a Kentucky uniform. He'll just go on and go pro.
Are they going to have a basketball season this year? Because if they don't have another tournament next March, I'm going to have to join Gamblers Anonymous, not because I'm gambling too much, but because I'm not gambling enough, John.
That's right. You can't take the withdrawals.
Exactly. I'm going crazy. I got to join Gamblers Anonymous because I'm not gambling.
Well, I mean, you could make a case that it's going to be harder to play basketball because it's indoors, and that's what all the doctors and all the specialists say. It's, you know, in these confined areas where the spread is even more so. You know, you can make a case, and you can't put college kids in a bubble like you can the NBA. Are you going to be paying attention to the NBA? You talked about baseball. What about the NBA and the bubble?
Oh, of course we're going to be paying attention to the NBA.
That gives you something to bet on.
I take all the action I could get right now. I've been watching Russian ping pong. That's no lie. That's one of the big things out in the desert right now. Russian ping pong. There's a big fixing story. Right, we got to let you go, John, but I got one question for you before you go. You weren't one of those people last year that really thought Kentucky was going to make the Final Four last March before all this came down, did you?
No, I was not. I was not one. But, you know, they crowned themselves champions. Everybody's crowned themselves champions. I saw the other day where Georgia, their Twitter, they crowned themselves SEC tournament champions. So, I thought Kentucky was too inconsistent to make it to the – when you got a 17-point lead on Tennessee and you lose it on your home floor, next to last game of the season, I didn't think they were going to be a Final Four team.
They didn't pass your eye test. Is that what you're telling me?
They didn't pass my eye test.
Well, that means everything in our world. Yes, yes.
I know how much stock you put in my iPad. I know how much stock you put in me, period.
Well, there's no need for cheap shots, John Clay. You're our first guest. Come on now. Let's not get carried away. John, we really appreciate your time this morning, being our first guest here on The Bottom Line in Lexington. We are very thankful for your kindness, and we thank you, and good luck. Tell us where we can find you and your column and on social media.
You can find me on Twitter at John Clay IV, and I'm at Kentucky.com. And Brett, congratulations on the show, and I know you're going to do a great job. You're going to bring an alternative voice to Lexington radio. So that's always needed and always appreciated. So good luck on the show, Brett.
Couldn't have said it any better myself. Thank you, my friend. All the best, John.
Okay, you too, Brett.
Thank you, buddy. That's John Clay of the Lexington Herald Leader. Thank you so much for joining us. Coming up after the break, our good friend Feller, you've heard the commercials on ESPN Radio, Angelo. You even asked me about it last week. The Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. How do I get involved in that? You're going to find out right after the break. But first, J&R Construction, my good friend Jimmy Skinny McKinney. He is an award-winning home remodeling company owner, and he is as good as you can get. If you need any home remodeling of any way, shape, or form, Jimmy Skinny McKinney is the guy to call. You see his billboards all around town. 859-225-0162. That's 859-225-0162. And you can check him out online, jrcsi.com. Farrell Elliott and the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship after the break, right here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM. Killing the vibe, gotta be sick of this guy. Pull up skirt, get in the ride. Welcome back to The Bottom Line, 1300 AM, 92.5 FM, ESPN Radio Lexington. Let's get to our next guest. He is the commissioner and grand poobah of the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. You've heard the commercials here on ESPN Radio. He is our good friend and the man you need to get in touch with to prove that you're the best fantasy football player in the state of Kentucky. He is our old friend, Farrell Elliott. Farrell, buddy, how are you, my friend? How are you doing?
Brad, I couldn't be better, and I'm joining all the listeners in Lexington, Kentucky, to be treated to your depth of knowledge of sports, including an unparalleled radio host knowledge of fantasy football. So the listeners are in for a real treat when they turn in Brad Taylor.
Wow, the check's in the mail, Farrell. I appreciate it. Hey, my friend Angelo over here, when I met him for the first time last week, first thing he says to me, hey, You're the guy on the fantasy football commercials. Tell my friend Angelo why he and everybody else listening should join the KFFSC to prove that they're the best fantasy football player in the state of Kentucky.
Well, Angelo has the role of your producer, right?
For today he does, yes.
Well, you know, the producers have the deep pockets. They have to spend that money somewhere and get out in the world, Brad. So, you know, it's truly the trickle-down effect. For the rest of us, and including Angelo, we offer an event that will bring fantasy football to a level playing field while giving you the opportunity to play against some of the best players from around the country. And it's so evidenced in our league last year. Our winner is a noted player that plays fantasy football to a great... His earnings were somewhere in the neighborhood of $800,000 to $1 million. And our $15,000 grand prize contributed to that. His name's Chad Schroeder. The runner-up in our event was the two gentlemen that joined in their first year last year, Brad. Two guys from the south area of Louisville played one team and were runner-up. So that's how close it can be and what an experience you can have in playing in our league. And that's, you know, if you're going to play, you might as well play where you can be competitive, where you can have a blast, and where you can really enjoy football and take the games that are coming into your home, making all games important. And, you know, we can use a little bit of that and have something to look forward to on football weekends in our lives right now.
Yeah, I've lost a lot of leagues to Chad Schroeder over the years. I will say this. There's nothing like those events in Cincinnati and just outside of Louisville. There's nothing like walking into those ballrooms and you're there with, you know, all kinds of people who are drafting and they're from all different backgrounds and everybody thinks they're going to win. It's literally, there's an electricity in the air on those days.
That's great that you've experienced that, and we're going to be thrilled to have you back this year. And the league has grown, Brad, but one thing that's been a constant throughout the league is that it's somewhat of a reunion. And just when I told people that you were back in the area, that you would be coming to play, everybody remembers you. Everybody wants to see you again. And that's a feeling that we have from year to year. So you don't lose. You know, people say, I want to play fantasy football with my friends. Let me tell you, you've got a lot of like-minded friends under our roof, both in Cincinnati, which is August 23rd, and Louisville, which is the 28th through the 30th. 3 days in Louisville, 1 day in Cincinnati.
Couple things real quick. A lot of people are thinking, hey, the NFL, they're not going to play 16 games this year. But they're the one league of all the leagues. They're running back. They're basically on schedule. They're on time to start all their camps next week. I don't think there's any reason to fear that the NFL will not be playing 16 games this year. Do you?
While we've already drafted over 300 teams, our league started drafting this spring. And in my real profession, although this one takes up a great deal of time, I'm an NFL player agent. So from the start of this pandemic and our concerns with it, I had access to a little more information than the average Joe on the street. And one of the things that I've been so proud of, and it comes within the shadow of our 10-year collective bargaining agreement with the Players Union and the NFL, but from that standpoint, we've been in lockstep working towards an approach and protocols to make this work, and taking care of the most important stuff first, and that's why we see players reporting to camp with the idea that there are protections for those players to be safe and compete during the year. It's not a foolproof situation, but the situation has been mitigated, Brad. And, you know, I think people that say, well, you're not going to have a full season of football. We're not going to have a lot of things if we don't have football, because football has been well prepared and has made the steps to answer this crisis and provide its product to its fans.
I'm up against the break, Farrell. Real quick, Christian McCaffrey, number one pick, should he be, yes or no?
Yes, much in all drafts.
He's Farrell Elliott, KFFSC.com. You can get all your fantasy football information there and how you could become the next Kentucky State fantasy football champion. Farrell, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We'll talk to you again next week, buddy.
Thank you, man.
All right, buddy. That's Farrell Elliott, KFFSC.com. He will help you become the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Champion. He is our good friend, and we will be participating in that again this year. Coming up after the break, the most profitable segment in Lexington Radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks, a fan favorite, bringing it back. But really quick first, make sure the real estate community right now is as high as it's ever been. Make sure to contact our good friend Trey McCauley, 859-312-7599, or check his website out, bestlexingtonhomes.com. That's Trey McCauley, 859-312-7599, bestlexingtonhomes.com. Welcome back to The Bottom Line here in Lexington, ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM. I am Brad Taylor, along with Angelo. Hey, what do you think of the first show here, Angelo?
You know, you had some opinions about Kentucky stuff about Terry Wilson that I actually ended up agreeing with that I've felt for a long time. It's been kind of hard to say, and I know that if I want to make some money, I can listen here. As a UK fan, it rubs me the wrong way sometimes, but I know at least that you're coming with the heat, so I got to hand it to you.
Heart's in the right place. Is that what you're trying to tell me? My heart's in the right place. I'm against
your mind and your wallet's in the right place. I don't know about your heart.
There you go. We'd say, but that's the thing. Take emotion out of it. We're about the money. We don't care about who wins these games. Thanks to John Clay and Farrell Elliott, because they talked really long today, so we're kind of out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. The Mac Daddy Stogie Picks. We'll come back next week when we have more time. We're very grateful to all of you for listening out there today. Thank you so much. My name is Brad Taylor. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex, and you can follow me now at Brad Taylor Radio. You can find us all over social media. Thanks so much for listening, and until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.